Welcome to the Occupational Safety Leadership Podcast, episode number 138. In today's episode, we're going to continue the journey of hazard identification, and today we will talk about pre-purchase document review. So that's a mouthful for basically saying before you buy something, you're going to sit down and read the manuals, understand it, look at all the safety stuff. Some of these companies do a great job, whereas others will give you the bare bones out there. But let's just sit down, go over a couple of things. I do think that this is one of the most overlooked areas. But what this also means is that, first off, you have to have buy-in. You have to know exactly what's going to be bought. And that makes it really hard for you to sit down and really insert yourself. Because at least for me, I had to set a threshold because I literally couldn't say, it's awesome, you guys want to buy everything as safe as possible. But when it came down to the amount of things that we were buying, it was more than a full-time job just to literally sit down and read these manuals besides, you know, any traveling, walking through the plant, you know, doing programs, training, and all the rest. So at some point, you have to set some kind of a threshold. And I know that's kind of a weasel answer out there because I really don't know exactly what everyone is buying. Are you only buying, let's just call them 5 widgets? Well, that would be pretty simple to sit down and do that. But if you're buying 5 every day across the board for 10 separate sites, that makes it really hard to do. So set some kind of a threshold for what you do have time for and what you don't have time for. So we talked about examining the documents, get all the manuals, read everything from cover to cover. Sometimes it can be almost like pulling teeth because I think that some of these folks, whereas they're extremely brilliant and smart, it's really hard for them to say, this is exactly what this does. Here's the hazard. Sometimes they appear to be written by lawyers, so there's a lot of legalese in there. And I get it, of course. You know, when somebody makes something and sells something, they don't want anybody to get hurt too, but they also don't know how that person's trained on the other end, how they're going to install it. Are they using it for something other than what it's actually made for? But they're going to sit down and bastardize it and just basically make it work, you know. So let's just kind of look at some of the big things out there. When we think about hazards, we think about the traditional ones of, you know, pinch point and crushing and all that. But you can also find fantastic info on the non-traditional ones, with the non-traditional becoming more and more part of the everyday workforce. So when you think about lasers, non-ionizing radiation, noise, I do everything I can to buy something as quiet as I can. And if it's not very quiet, because typically they've done the noise measurements, all that documentation is in there. It could be one number, you know, in 400 pages, but it's in there. So sometimes you have to think about where to go and find this info. Some of the more obvious ones, we want to look at the chemicals. I found that just about every single one does a great job of saying, here's a ideal starting point for a lockout tagout then. So a lot of times they do a really good job of that because again, when something is sold to you, they don't want you to get hurt. You know, I get that, of course. And so they're doing everything they can on their end, too, most times. Some companies will say, you buy it first, we ship it to you first, and then we'll email you after, you know, it's already on site. And that is a technique that's better than nothing. But the key is that if you can really look at the stuff up front, and you also have to have the management commitment, you know, to go back and say, hey, here's exactly what the hazards are, and by your risk appetite, and it has to be the management's risk appetite, you know, are you going to go forward or not go forward with this whole purchase? Sometimes you're stuck with almost a, I haven't found anything except this tool. And that doesn't mean that you can't ask the manufacturer, like, well, how do we go back and address these things? But sometimes you will find a piece of equipment that really is the only game in town, and then you have to get all the creative and say, we're willing to buy it the way it is, and then when it comes in, we're going to do the following things to it to make it even safer, to equal the risk appetite that the company has. So, and then one that most companies will not look at that often is going to be the ergonomic factors then. So is it going to be a machine that somebody sits? Do they stand? Is it going to be part of a machine, but all the way in the back, the maintenance guys are spending hours on their knees, swapping out stuff and doing maintenance and all that. So I really try to do everything I can to look at those things too, because it can just get tough then. So, and then finally, one that I use with we'll call it sparse results, because a lot of times the company doesn't have this information either, is that I want to understand the waste. You know, obviously when you see a chemical chemical thing happen, you can measure that. You know it's going to go up the scrubber, you know, and all that kind of stuff then. But things like regular waste, hazardous waste, and all that kind of stuff then, we always want to go back and minimize the risk that we have, of course, minimize that environmental liability the company has too. So we want to look at a way that can we not generate waste and hazardous waste and all that stuff too. And I've had very sparse results with this. Most of the time, a most companies have done like enough to say, hey, it's good, or you should think about getting a permit along with this or not. But a lot of companies have not really fully investigated the whole life, let's call it the whole life cycle of this equipment. Because at some point, you know, let's say it runs for 20 years, has almost zero issues the whole time. You only change oil in this thing, you know. Awesome, great. Well, when it's at the end of service, what do we do now with this thing, you know? Are we going to do it like sell it as scrap? And of course, you know, the odds of you being there in 20 years, you know, maybe and maybe not, of course, but that doesn't mean that the company's not faced with exactly these same issues in the future. Is how do we get rid of this thing so we upgrade it and go on to the next latest and greatest that's out there? So, okay, that is it for episode number 138. This was just a very brief intro into looking at the pre-purchase document review. Over the years, I've come up with a checklist that helps me, because you're just not going to find it. Every single piece of equipment is going to have exactly the same thing. So with any kind of checklist, you just have you basically have your question, you have your, you know, your yes, no, and you can also say that it's just NA, because not everything is going to apply. So, all right, episode 138 is complete. I'd like to thank everybody for joining me today. My name is Dr. David Ayers. Thank you, and have a safe day.